Hey y'all, how's it going? This is episode 2 of the Growth and Jams podcast. I am Saul, your host, and today I'm here with the one and only gluten-free goodies, my girlfriend, my roommate, my better half. Really excited to do this podcast with her today and talk a little bit about growth in our relationship, personal growth, growth together, and just I'm real excited about it. 1, 2, 3. So why don't you start, Carissa, by telling us a little bit about who you are? Tell the listeners what you're doing with your life. Just give a little context so people understand who you are and where you come from.
Hello, hello. As Saul said, I am Carissa. I am a education major, soon to be at UTSA, located in San Antonio. What I'm doing with my life right now isn't much, just because, you know, we're in a pandemic. But just trying to stay productive and read more. That's what's going on right now. Read more, exercise more, cook more. Yeah, just trying to stay productive and not sit on the couch all day like I was in the beginning.
Yeah, I think that's something that we can all relate to right now and that we're all struggling with a little bit. I guess to kick things off and to segue into the talks about our relationship, because, you know, it's some juicy, sought-after content by the people. Yeah, I guess to say the least, we had a rocky start and a rocky foundation, but we've come a long way in coming up on 3 years. I've known you a little over 3 years now, and I'm just real glad to be on this journey with you. How would you describe, I guess, where we started, some of the problems that we started with, and how we got to where we are now and some of the successes that we draw from now?
Yeah, so, I mean, where we started is kind of a funny story, but we won't get into the details of that. No, but I think, at least for me, at the beginning, you know, I was a senior in high school, you were a freshman in college. I feel like those in itself are just very two important chapters of anyone's life. And so, you know, I was just trying to make the most of my senior year, going to parties, playing soccer, looking to play college soccer as well, just kind of thinking about the future and plans after college, while I feel like you were settling into college and, yeah, just kind of adjusting to that. And so I can't really speak a lot for you, but for me as a senior, I think, you know, it was just, it was kind of one of those things where it was like, it's cool, I'm dating a boy in college type of thing, even though you're like literally my age. But no, I just think that, for starters, I was immature. I feel like I kind of looked at love the wrong way. I think I was really selfish when it came to love, definitely insecure, not confident when it came to love. And most importantly, I feel like I didn't have a foundation that was built the way that Christ loves. It was kind of just like your very stereotypical, let's stalk his social media, let's see who he's hanging out with, be jealous about multiple girls, whatever the case is. I just feel like it wasn't healthy. It was just very childish love, which, I mean, isn't necessarily a bad thing. I feel like everyone kind of goes through that at one point or another. But I think it was finding that true meaning of love and diving into faith more and building our relationship on a foundation of, you know, Christ's love is what really helped us grow as a couple, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think at the start of our relationship, we were, you know, we both had somewhat shaky pasts, not to get into details, but just like relationships that were plagued by emotional unintelligence, I would say. And I think a lot of the things that social media trains us to believe, and high school specifically teaches you to believe, is that, you know, showing emotion is weak. And I think the way that people show emotion in high school isn't necessarily healthy as well. I think something for me that I struggled with that took a long time to translate into success in our relationship, because it was an individual struggle, was just, again, this emotional immaturity. And I think that I mainly really resented wanting to feel, and I would just run from those emotions, hide from those emotions, and didn't know how to convey those emotions to other people. So I think that was something that we, I can only speak for myself, but I think we both struggled with a little bit at the beginning of our relationship. And I think as we learn to accept our feelings and not run from them, and to more so just manage them, feel them, and then cope with them, deal with them, and accurately communicate them to each other, I think that's when we both started to see a much bigger translation of our love to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree that, you know, we did have as most relationships do in high school, we had a pretty rocky foundation. But I would say that when we made the transition to make faith a pivotal part of our relationship, that's when we definitely started to see growth together. So yeah, just piggybacking off everything you said was great. Is there any piece of advice that you would give to people that are, you know, struggling in their relationship, or, you know, maybe they are seeking a relationship, but they don't know what a healthy relationship is supposed to look like? And, you know, this is coming from two people that aren't perfect. We aren't in the perfect relationship,
mm-hmm.
but I do think that we have grown a lot, and we stand in a position where we can give advice or pointers to people that are looking to be in a serious relationship. Because I think one of the things that we really do well is keep marriage at the forefront of our relationship. And we really think about that every day and make that mm-hmm. our goal every day. So yeah, just to go back to the question, what would you suggest to people that are looking to get into a relationship, struggling with one, or, you know, don't know what one looks like?
Yeah, I think everything you said is really important. I feel like my major things, one being communication, and not just communication, but constructive communication. I think it's really easy to point out just the flaws and negative things about your partner in, you know, negative times. But I think it's the ability of taking those negative times, whether it be a fight or maybe it's something that you're personally going through or something you're going through as a couple, and kind of transforming them into something constructive. Like, how can we grow from this? And when you think about that, letting communication be kind of like the first step that you take in that. And I think just always voicing how you feel, because like you, I used to bottle things up as well. And that really just hinders you from having a fruitful relationship. And so I think communication really is key. And I know that is such a cliche saying, but constructive communication, just being able to point out the positive things that you can communicate to your partner in negative times. I feel like that just really goes a long way. And then another thing, I would definitely say trust is a huge thing. I think if you can't trust your partner, there's just no future. I mean, of course, there's things that maybe will kind of backtrack you and kind of just be like, wow, do I trust them? Or maybe they lose like an ounce of your trust. However, I think if the plan is to grow as a couple, then you should definitely find ways to either regain that trust or kind of just stop there. Because I think a lot of problems start when like one person loses the other person's trust. And then it's kind of like, well, how can I get them back? Or how can I, you know, take this lost trust and like transform it into something toxic and ugly? Because that's usually what happens in those situations. And so I think it's really important to trust your partner through everything. And another thing I would say is, most importantly, faith. And, you know, I know everyone isn't religious or spiritual, but, you know, whatever you believe in, whether that be, you know, our Lord or, again, whatever that may be, I think just recognizing that you and the person that you are in a relationship are made for something, and striving to be holy every day with your significant other is just such a beautiful process, I think. And it's something that you can witness every single day, honestly, because you're finding ways to make each other saints, you know, throughout your life. And so I think that definitely a lot of prayer, just praying about your discernment for sure. Like, I don't know about you, but when I became Catholic and learned about, like, you know, all these people praying for their discernment, I was like, what does that even mean? But then, you know, I was like, am I going to be a nun? Like, you know, just praying on things like that, just so you know that God is bringing you where he wants you to be and who that person he wants you to be with. And I think that praying on that discernment, whether that be marriage or, you know, single or nun or whatever that may look like for you and your journey, I think it's really important to pray on that, because God will deliver and God will show you where you're supposed to go and who you're supposed to walk with. And So when you do walk with that partner and you're praying and you're communicating and you're trusting and you're loving, you know, our Father every single day, I think that goes a long way. It can really build a relationship, because if there's no foundation of Christ, it's bound to be shaken. So,
yeah, that's very well said. For those people out there that, you know, your beliefs may not be the same as ours, I do believe that while your journey does not have to be rooted in Christ itself, while we aren't trying to push that on you, I do believe that having a relationship that's grounded in something much bigger than yourself is ideal and necessary for a successful relationship. So whether that be the Catholic teachings, Christian teachings, Muslim teachings, Jewish teachings, whatever it is, whatever your faith may be, I do think that, you know, rooting yourself in some larger than life, you know, path, as well as moral codes and values, definitely helps to strengthen your relationship, but also makes it so that you can weather the storm with this person. As we've seen the last couple of days with Will Smith and Jada, I wasn't going to bring it up, but I think it's perfect to say, because, you know, they don't have a wonderful marriage, as they said, but I think something that they beautifully conveyed was that, you know, they stuck it out through the really difficult times together. And I think that's beautiful, because I think love is definitely an active choice. I think you can definitely be made to be with different people, but I think you can choose who you love and who you pursue, and you can choose to love them through everything. And I think that's what's critical to finding your person is, you know, maybe relationships aren't perfect and people aren't perfect and they make mistakes, but you're able to weather the storm with that person because it's rooted in something much larger than you, your partner, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, kind of to piggyback that too is, I think a huge, and I was just thinking about it while you were talking, a huge, you know, issue right now with relationships, and we actually like had to talk about this the other day, is kind of like where you hit that point where you're like over the honeymoon phase, but you're like not engaged and married yet. Like you're kind of just sitting in that time. And I think that is when a lot of people feel that they are bored, or feel that like, okay, well, maybe like this had its run and time to pack my bags and go. And I feel like that doesn't always need to be the case, especially when you have, you know, Christ as your foundation, or whatever you are believing in as your foundation, because then that presents the opportunity for you and your partner to actively chase something. And I think that's what's really beautiful, is that, you know, we are able to actively chase the gates of heaven like every single day. And so we're pushing each other to be more holy, be saints, be loving, be kind, whatever that may look like, and whatever faith you may choose, you're just actively chasing a goal, and you're chasing it together, and you're helping each other chase it as well. I know I just said chase a lot, but I hope that made sense.
Beautifully said, from the Gluten-Free Goodies account herself. And I think, you know, while using the word chase many times, it was wonderfully said and incredibly said, and everyone can definitely gain something from that. I think to segue into our next topic, I would love to interview the Gluten-Free Goodies and just tell us a little bit about what you love about cooking and how you've come to grow and your chef skills and how you share that with the world and how that makes you feel.
Yeah, so I actually have not been gluten-free my entire life.
Whoa, fellas.
As a lot of people know, but some of you may not. Yes, I became gluten-free, or started my gluten-free diet, I should say. That makes more sense. In August of 2018, literally the month that I moved to Austin, which was a huge bummer at first, because Austin just has so many great places to eat. And I was so much looking forward to that. And then to make, you know, the sudden shift, it was like, well, now you have to ask for the gluten-free menu every time we go out. So yeah, at first it was really difficult, really hard. But as time went on and I was spent more time in the kitchen, because that was the thing too. Like in high school, I did not cook. I don't know about you.
Oh, we know.
Yeah, zero cooking. I mean, I did like, you know, rice and toast with butter.
It was microwave rice, fellas. It was not real rice.
Oh my God. No, but I think just when you start a new diet, it really, it's also kind of fun if you think about it. Change can be fun. And so when I became gluten-free, I was like, well, now I can learn some gluten-free recipes and, you know, force myself to get in the kitchen and cook these things for myself. And when I started to branch out and do that, most things actually are gluten-free. Like, you know, meats, rice, potatoes, eggs, obviously, like all those things that you would eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you can find a way to make them gluten-free. Like, yes, given bread is the biggest one. I miss garlic bread like every day of my life, but there are pros to it, you know, because carbs are something that I struggled with after I stopped playing soccer. I definitely saw where the carbs were going and I was like, all right, we got to cut them out. But no, yeah, I think going gluten-free just definitely made my body feel a lot better. I've seen a lot of progress and a lot of changes. You know, not to say that not being gluten-free, eating gluten is not a bad thing. I just don't want it to seem like being gluten-free was like this midlife crisis that everyone should avoid, because there are definitely a lot of positives to being gluten-free.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the most simple way to say it is just to eat primal. And I think a lot of our diets are filled with carbs, and specifically unhealthy carbs like pasta and bread, mm-hmm. and things that really just don't satiate us or keep us filled or anything like that. So I think it's great that you found a way to balance that and, you know, really dive into this diet.
Mm-hmm.
To segue into the next little bit, I think, you know, we can all agree that online classes this last semester, at the end of the semester, really sucked. And we're all kind of gearing up to go into that again in the fall. If you're in college, even in high school at this point as well, I think they might be going into online classes again.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things that you have placed mentally in the path to success on, you know, going through this online class for what may be the next semester, the next year, whatever it may be while this pandemic continues?
I definitely think it's important to recognize that it is a huge change, but I think it's also important to recognize that you are not alone in this change. So for me, I'm a huge visual learner. So this last semester when they transitioned online, I did, you know, fall behind in one of my classes, actually, like just not being able to have that one-on-one interaction with my professor and be there and learn visually just really, it really hurt me in a lot of ways. And so I think just when I did kind of accept the change, that was because, you know, the pandemic got worse and it was like, okay, well, now schools are just like shut down, like for right now. So everything was online. And so I think that it's really important to first accept the change and be okay with it, because that took me a long time, as I'm sure it took others too. And then, two, recognizing that you're not the only one that's going through this right now. You know, there's a lot of people out there who unfortunately are losing their jobs, and, you know, educators as well. Like, I can't even imagine that transition for a lot of educators who have to lesson plan and do everything at home. And so I can't imagine how stressful that is. So just knowing that I'm not the only one stressing a lot is somewhat comforting. And I think it's really important that we're doing everything online. I mean, even if libraries open up, coffee shops, etc., like classes are going to be online for the most part is what I'm hearing right now. And so I think it's important to kind of like change the scenery, if that makes sense. Because I know at the beginning when I was taking my classes just in the same chair in the same room for X amount of hours, you know, it gets difficult. Like, you get tired of looking at your computer. You get tired of what's surrounding you. You want to like get up and move to your next class like you would have if this was in person. And so I think it's important to kind of like get up every now and then and go somewhere else or do something else or find a fun way to kind of like execute what you are doing. Like, it can even be as small as like I did one class in the kitchen, one class in the dining room, one class outside, like whatever that may look like for you. I think it's just trying to make the environment as close as normal can be, because everything right now, of course, is abnormal. Everything is changing. Everything is just different. And so I think it's just really important to try and imitate what was normal as best as you can, whatever that may look like for you.
Yeah, I agree. I think those are some incredible tidbits of knowledge, and I think we can all benefit from those things as well. One of the things that I've learned is most beneficial is being able to separate where you do your work and where you do your relaxation. You know, it's kind of tough because we live in a one bedroom apartment, but being able to like designate a specific area or a specific zone that's for relaxation only, where your mind can decompress and not think about school or work or whatever it may be, you know, whether that's the bedroom or the couch or whatever it is, but just not doing your schoolwork there and not doing your actual job there. Because then when it comes time to decompress, when it comes time to go to bed, your mind isn't able to turn it off, or, you know, vice versa. Maybe you're doing it there and you can't get motivated to do it there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just to piggyback off of your information. And I think that's all some great advice. And I hope you all enjoy that advice, use that advice, and, you know, come back next week to continue to grow and continue to find new ways to, you know, enhance your life. So for this week, I am Saul, and it was a pleasure talking to my lovely girlfriend, who I think will come to be on this podcast more than once. And I'm excited to continue to talk with her and for her to share her gluten-free goodies with y'all. So until next time, I'm Saul, and this is
Carissa. Thank you for having me.